This is the Sun Radio Regional Report. I'm Kevin Connor. We touch on topics of interest and importance to people here in Central Texas and all over the state. People are concerned about their trees after a devastating ice storm last week. And so I was lucky enough to get a hold of an expert on trees in Texas, Allison Bayless. Allison is with the Texas A&M Forest Service and their community forestry program. And Allison, first of all, thank you for taking the time. This has probably been one of the busiest weeks of your career.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm happy to have this platform as well to try to reach as many folks as we can in the Austin and surrounding area.
And I must admit, I didn't know that the entire State Forest Service was run through A&M and has been for well over a century, right?
Correct. Yeah. So we are the State Forest Service. We just happen to be under the Texas A&M University system. Lots of other State Forest Service function that way as well, but we are indeed all over the state. We have foresters all across the state, and we cover every single county.
That's good. Do you have to be an Aggie to be part of the Forest Service?
No, you don't. In fact, I went to UT, so.
Oh, my goodness.
You don't have to.
Keep that on the DL, I would imagine.
I do when I go to my headquarters.
Well, Allison, I've lived here in Austin for over 40 years. We've been in our house in Oak Hill for about 26 years. I don't remember ever having so much tree damage after an ice storm. Have you found that, you and your department, have you found this to be particularly devastating?
Yeah. So in conversations with my colleagues across the area and across the state, this storm does seem to be particularly damaging. I've sort of thought the damage is much like a hurricane. I heard somebody describe it as an ice hurricane. Mm. So here in Central Texas, of course, we're not used to what that damage from a hurricane typically looks like. This does kind of seem to feel like that.
Yeah, I guess just because it was raining ice or ice forming on contact for so long, it just added to the weight on the trees themselves.
Correct. And so that ice is essentially what we consider a load on a tree. Mm-hmm. You know, it's that weight that helps that causes the limbs to essentially break or the tree to give out, similar to what you would see in a tornado or a hurricane or with wind. That is also a load. And those are forces on the branches that can cause them to break.
Okay, so we're talking with Allison Bayless from the Texas A&M Forest Service, the State Forest Service for Texas. Laying in bed, hearing the tree branch crack and then crash onto the roof, and you're just laying there going, oh, and no power, without any power, just hoping for the best. And got out there, and just for my example and my neighbors, we got hit pretty hard. A couple of our neighbors got hit even harder. Some people immediately went into the cleanup mode. And of course, there are a lot of guys in trucks driving around saying, hey, we'll take care of that for you. I went along with my neighbors and said, okay, we'll hire these guys, knowing what you recommend on your website is that really what you want to have is a ISA certified arborist to work on your trees. But this was almost like such an emergency to just get stuff cleared out. The guy we hired was not a certified arborist, but what is an ISA certified arborist, and why is it so important to utilize one of them?
So ISA certified arborists are folks who have a demonstrated level of experience and knowledge pertaining to trees. So to get this certification, you have to have a certain number of experience with tree care, as well as you have to pass an examination, as well as undergo continuing education. It's people like ISA certified arborists who we say who really know trees and know how to take care of trees. Unfortunately, there's a lot of people out there who aren't as knowledgeable at trees, but still offer sort of tree trimming services mm-hmm. that can sometimes do actually more harm than good, even though you might think you're getting your money's worth because it might be cheaper to hire somebody who's not an ISA certified arborist. But really, for the long-term health of the tree, we always recommend ISA certified arborists.
I gotta say that I think we felt like we have to get rid of these big branches now. We gotta clear this stuff out because some of them were dangerous. You know, there was one that was still hanging over the house, and had it not been taken down, it could have come crashing down. And I thought, well, I know I'm supposed to get a certified arborist. maybe we can bring them in later to really look at everything and determine, you know, which trees are savable. And I found on y'all's website, there's a whole list of things that a checklist. Can this tree be saved? And sometimes it seems like people rush into it too quickly and say, oh, this tree's a goner. But you really give advice on how to judge if a tree is savable. What's the main kind of things that you look for?
Sure. So there are quite actually a few things that we look for to determine if a tree is saved. You know, how healthy was the tree before the storm? How many major limbs were broken? Has it lost what we call the main leader or that main stem that comes up from the trunk?
Right.
How many branches were lost, sort of things of those sort. And then we basically categorize the tree on, yes, this is minimal damage, or this might be a wait and see sort of situation, which a lot of the time happens with trees. But there are some signs of damage, like missing the central leader or a large split in the main trunk that would be a candidate for removal, unfortunately.
Yeah. And you have even more pieces of advice. And again, you really need a certified arborist to take a look at that after the fact. And they might say, no. Look here. This tree's going to be okay. It may not be as pretty as it once was for a while, but it's gonna stay. And to have a mature tree heal itself and you help with that might be better than taking it down and replacing it. We should tell people how to find this on y'all's website. What's the easiest way to log on to the Forest Service website?
Sure. So you could find us through Googling Texas A&M Forest Service, but also our web address is pretty short. It's tfsweb.tamu.edu. And right on that main homepage, we have an after the storm link. And then within that link, there are a number of resources for homeowners as well as other entities about responding, you know, to your trees after storms.
And there's also a link to find ISA certified arborist on that, on your website too.
Correct. Yes.
Who I would imagine right now have more opportunities than they have time, because this hits so heavily. We're talking with Allison Bayless. She is with the Texas A&M Forest Service. She is a woodland ecologist, part of their community forestry program, which is a statewide thing. A&M runs the Forest Service for the state of Texas. You mentioned about checking if the tree was healthy to begin with. I think sometimes people just let their trees be their trees and they don't really worry about it. And there's a lot that goes into owning and maintaining a tree. I think people are realizing that now. It's like, oh my goodness, had I pruned my tree a little bit better beforehand, maybe I wouldn't be in this trouble. How do people learn how to do that?
Sure. So one of the ways to learn how to do that is to consult again with ISA certified arborists, or even on our website, we have resources on how to care for trees in your landscape, as well as how to keep your trees healthy.
Okay. If there has been a determination that you have to replace your tree, like my buddy Mark Murray, who does the weather for us every morning here on Sun Radio, he's out in the country and he knows he's lost 6 trees. And his question was, what would you recommend as a replacement, something that grows relatively fast, but that's not a, you know, that is going to hold its value as well, a tree? It's hard to get a mature oak growing real quick. So what are some good trees to plant in this kind of a replacement situation?
So there are a lot of different trees that could work. We actually have a tool that can help people decide what tree specifically to plant. It's called our Texas Tree Planting Guide. And you can find that just by Googling it. But it basically, what you want to do is take into account your site. So everybody's site is going to be different. They're going to have different amounts of space, different types of soil, different sun exposure, things of that sort. And then this tool takes into account all of those things, and it will present you with options for potential trees and species that could work in your environment. We do have a lot of great trees. Generally, our native trees are some of the best options.
Sure.
In terms of replacements.
Yeah. And we are perilously close right now to oak wilt season.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw something on your site. Oh, it was the do's and don'ts. Do prune safely within your ability. Use the right tools. Cut at the branch collar, not flush to the trunk. Exactly what does that be, kind of where it comes out?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so if you look at a tree trunk where a branch essentially joins to the main tree trunk, there's usually this sort of swelling of tissue underneath. It actually used to be called the branch shoulder, so I find that helpful to describe that area. And that's basically where the branch or the limbs wood crosses over with the trunk wood. And we want to be sure we just cut just outside of that zone, because there are special properties in that branch collar or branch shoulder that help to essentially stave off disease and helps the tree actually seal that wound once the limb has been removed.
Okay. And on the don'ts, don't prune within 10 feet of a utility line. Let the utility people do that, right?
Correct. And that's because trees can conduct electricity. So if any part of the tool you're using, any part of the tree, if any of those are within those 10 feet or really close to utility lines, even if you think it's not energized, do not approach that. Do not attempt to prune that tree. Have the professionals come in and take care of that.
Don't leave branch stubs. So if a part of it was broken off and you just got, you know, half a branch left sticking out, or maybe a couple of feet, don't leave that. Because why? That takes energy from the tree?
So that stub essentially will start to decay over time. Okay. And then that area can be essentially a place where disease or decay organisms can then get into the tree. So you want to cut as close as you can there back to the main trunk without cutting into the branch collar. And I understand it's kind of hard to visualize as we're talking about it, but we do have images of this on our website. There's a tree first aid section. I do want to just mention, though, too, when we're talking about, you know, going back in to remove branches or sort of clean up those stub cuts, we would want to minimize pruning of oaks right now, because we are in the no pruning window for oaks because of oak wilt.
Oh, we're already in it. I thought we had a couple of weeks.
No, the no prune window is February through June.
Oh, dear. Okay. It says don't use wound paint except near oak wilt. Now, the guys that worked on my trees, they were painting everything, including non-oak trees. Was that unnecessary, or is it harmful to the tree?
So it's not necessary to paint wounds on a tree that is not an oak. Back in the day, they thought that wound dressing or paint helped to seal that wound, when in fact there is actually no benefit. Now, depending on the type of paint that was used, it could be essentially toxic to the tree. So there is that possibility. But if you do make any cuts on oak trees, regardless of time of year, that is when we want to use wound dressing or paint. And that is only to help prevent the spread of oak wilt.
Now, you say we're in the zone that you can't prune an oak tree between February and June. But what if you still have, say, open wounds on an oak tree now? How do you deal with that? It would seem like it's just leaving it open to potential oak wilt.
Sure. So there's a few things that I want to address with this. First, if you have an oak tree and there are things that need to be made safe, like you have a limb that is broken but right, still hanging in the tree, or if, you know, other cuts need to be made to make the tree safe, that is okay. But if you're coming in and doing cosmetic pruning, let's say you have that stub and it's just a jagged sort of wound on the end, that's what I would wait until after the no prune window. Yes, it looks bad. Yes, it looks like it's an open wound. But when it comes to oak wilt, there's this time period where if we don't address that wound within approximately 3 days, the window has passed. So the wounds that happened during the storm to oak trees, there's no longer any real threat from those being come infected with oak wilt, it's the new wounds, which pruning is a wound, that we're really concerned about. But pruning for safety on oaks is okay. Doing any sort of aesthetic cleanup, I would say wait until at least July, depending on what our drought looks like in July. I might even wait till the fall or winter to go back to those just on oak trees.
Again, we're talking with Allison Bayless from the Texas A&M Forest Service. All kinds of helpful information is on their website, which again is tfsweb.tamu.edu. Or you, like you said, you can just kind of Google Texas A&M Forest Service and all will be revealed. What are some of the other just major things that people should avoid right now? Just being too eager to cut everything down?
Correct. We don't want to be too eager to remove limbs or doing any sort of like aesthetic type pruning. Really, pruning just for, you know, safety is the priority right now. There still might be damage that we can see in the coming few months from the cold temperatures. So right now we're seeing damage from the weight of the ice, but we could see cold damage from the temperatures. And we just want to try to take care and try to be patient with our trees. Of course, anything safety related should be addressed right away. But when it comes to other things, you know, we'll really want to pay special attention to our trees this year to help keep them healthy.
What's your favorite tree?
My favorite tree goes between a few different ones, depending on the time of year and who asks me. Mexican plums are about to be one of my favorite ones this time of year. They're a beautiful small native tree that we have that have just these beautiful white flowers that we'll get to see hopefully pretty soon.
I'm writing that down, Mexican plum tree. All right. This is good advice, Allison. We really appreciate it. And I was talking about this the other day and I had several people call and say, who's your tree person? I need to have a tree person. I said, well, I'm basically looking myself, but I know being a certified arborist, and there's also a kind of way to check, because sometimes people say they're a certified arborist and they may not actually be one, but there's kinds of ways to check on that, isn't there?
Yeah, there is. So at treesaregood.org, there is a credential verifier. So you can type in somebody's name and it will tell you whether they have a credential and if that credential is valid.
So what's the thing that's keeping you all the most busy this past week? At your department here, and you're like the Austin department for the Forest Service.
Sure. So there's been a few main things we've been focusing on this past week. First is attempting to get the message out about how to respond to the trees, tree first aid, sharing some of the resources that we've already talked about with different media outlets. We've been fielding a lot of calls and questions. People can always call us with tree questions that they might have, as well as we have teams on the ground within the city of Austin, as well as neighboring communities, actually helping to clear roads, clear right-of-ways, and directly respond to some of the damage.
All right. Busy week.
Very busy, yes.
Well, Allison Bayless, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate talking to you. I know now that I just have to be a little patient with my post oak and hope for the best, because a woman who has a tree background told me last fall, said, you need to get an arborist out here to work on that post oak. You don't want to lose that. But now I just have to kind of leave it alone until the summertime.
Correct, right? You'll want to, in terms of responding to the damage. Now, there may have, though, been something going on with your post oak before the storm, and that might warrant having a certified arborist come out and look at it sooner rather than later.
All right. Well, thank you, Allison. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me.
Again, that is Allison Bayless, who is a woodland ecologist for the Texas A&M Forest Service in their community forestry program. Really appreciate her time and good, solid advice. And then just on their website, there's lots of good information for you for moving on. And thank you for taking the time to listen to this edition of the Sun Radio Regional Report. Your comments on this or suggestions for future programs, that would be very helpful. Always welcome. Studio@sunradio.com.